If you would, turn your Bibles to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to read verses 11 through 17. Verse 11 through 17, 1 Peter chapter 2. He said, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conduct," and King James would use the word conversation, "honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may be your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good that you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king." Father, I thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that you would take this seed, and Lord, that it would be planted in each one of our hearts. And I pray right now that the Holy Ghost just breaks up the ground of our heart to receive this seed. And Lord, let it bear fruit in our life. Now, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. It's a different type of scripture today. "Brethren, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lust." It almost, if you wasn't really cautious, you could almost think that Peter has changed audiences. Because he starts off and he starts talking to the church. And he starts talking to people that have been persecuted for Christ's sake. I mean, these are people that are enduring Nero's punishment. And remember I told you that Nero was the guy who burned Christians at the stake. So it was life-threatening to come out for Jesus Christ at this point. And he has not changed his audience. Not changed him at all. But he's encouraging them continually to keep going. In Sunday school, Ray talked a lot about being faithful. And he said he read a book and was reading a book, and it talked about one place that he had read, the Navy, I guess it was, as they arrived in their ships, they burned their ships down because there was no retreating for them. They was not going to give themselves an avenue to go back to their boats. They were going to conquer or they were going to die, one or the other. And I think that's the same attitude that you and I have to have as believers in Jesus Christ. It's time we burn the ship. It's time we burn the bridge that carries us back to our former life. And we start doing everything we can to make heaven our home. My life is to glorify God. Christians, I want to ask you a very solemn question. Can you say that? Or have you become so ensnared in this world that your life does not represent anything about this statement? My life is just to be a good guy. It's to do good for my family, provide for my kids, and all that's good. That's all honorable. I would never preach against that. But I want us to go further. I want to ask you the question today that says, can you say this? My life on this earth is to bring glory to Him. Are you all in? You hear what I'm saying? Are you all in? Because that's the message he's preaching to these guys. Peter is preaching to these guys who is ready to lay their life down at Nero's whatever, his little whim. I want to have a beer party tonight and I need my garden lit up. Go get me a few Christians. And they're willing to lay their life down, and he's asking them, are you all in? Sure sounds like they are. He starts off, and I think this is a sermon that we get sidetracked in a lot of times. Because I think this is a sermon that preachers, this is a portion of scripture that preachers just love. Because we get to talk about those fleshly lusts. I mean, we can just nail those things to the cross, right? And I think we got it wrong. Is the message the same? Yes, but the motivation is different. Do you understand that? He starts talking about these fleshly things that you need to get rid of, but it's not the way we perceive it. The motivation is because I want to bring glory to Him. And I want you to bring glory to Him. And the first thing he says is, this is really a two-issue thing. Salvation of man and the glory of God. This whole passage, the salvation of man, the glory of God. But he says, as sojourners. A sojourner is one who temporarily resides in a place, and a stranger. I included stranger because some of the versions will say stranger. A stranger just means guest. So he says, sojourners, somebody who is temporarily residing in this place. I believe Christians don't see that this is a temporary assignment. But in comparison to eternity, this is a flash. Life here as we know it is going to be over. For your father, it's over. Payday, graduation, celebration. Why? Because he knows the King. There's many, many other people that are dying today that do not know Jesus as their Savior. It's a different result, guys. It's not about being a good man or a bad man. It's about being a saved man. Are we sojourners today? I ask this question, are we just a little too engaged in this life? The Bible talks about the cares of this life would choke off the word. That's the parable of the sower. I think Satan has done a wonderful job engaging us in life to where the kingdom takes a back seat. We've got it backwards. We should be kingdom minded. Absolutely all the way. All the way in, guys. Kingdom minded. Are you saved? Yes, you're saved. Get over it. I'm not talking about, are you going to make heaven? Yes, you're going to make heaven. Who are you going to take with you? Are you making a difference? Talked about this story, and this story just touches my heart. There was a preacher that traveled all over the world. He was a big name evangelist, but when he would get together and get with other preachers, he has one question he always liked to ask them. How'd you get saved? And as he traveled across the world, he kept hearing the same story. And the story went like this. I was in Sydney, Australia, drunk as a skunk. Got off the boat. I was a merchant marine. Got off the boat in Sydney. Was walking down a street. And out steps this little guy who ran the store. And he starts preaching to me. And I just had to run. And he said, conviction just touched my heart. Now this preacher that was this a traveling evangelist began to hear about this same little merchant. This same guy who many of them would say he accosted me. He just attacked me basically with the gospel. And this missionary, this minister, thought, I've got to meet this man if he's still living. So he goes to Sydney, Australia, and what's the name of that street? George Street. Goes to George Street and says, guys, do you know somebody that owns a store on George Street that witnesses to people, and they said, oh yes, that's brother so-and-so. So he makes his way to this guy's house. At this point, this is a true story. At this point, this man's well into his 80s. And he stops and he says, I'd like to talk with you. And the gentleman invites him in and pours him a cup of tea, and they just sit there. And he says, I understand that you tell people about Jesus. And this little guy began to share his testimony about what God had done for him and how God had changed his life. And he said, I told the Lord, if you'll save me, if you'll get me out of my mess, I'll tell people about you. And he said, for the last 30 years, I've been telling people about Jesus. And he says, but it hasn't been very effective. He says, I've not led one person to Jesus. I've not done much, but I have told many people about him. And the minister stops him and says, sir, he said, that's where you're wrong. He says, it has been very effective. He says, the reason I am here today is to tell you how effective you have been. He said, I travel the world as an evangelist, and I have met countless people, and I ask them, how did they get saved? And your name keeps coming up. You may think that you was not effective, but I want you to know you have affected greatly the kingdom of heaven. It wasn't but a short time that little guy on George Street died. Just a period of a few more weeks. And this minister said, can you imagine the applause when he walks through the throne room? Can you imagine the people that will surround him? Why? Because he lived his life to glorify God. That's the difference. That's the difference. You see, it's not about becoming a preacher. God is not calling everybody to preach the gospel. It's not about being an evangelist or a missionary. It's about being the cook, the gas station attendant, the janitor, the accountant, the nurses. It's about being who you are, but living your life for Jesus. Letting Him shine through. Let's be sojourners. Let's evaluate our life this morning, and let's make a decision that I am way too engaged in this life, and I need to be more about the kingdom than I do about this life. He says to abstain, which means to refrain. You know what abstain means, where we get our word abstinence. To refrain from an action. And then he talks about fleshly, I'm gonna keep saying that, don't I? Fleshly lust. Now, a lust is not an action. It's a thought. It happens between your ears, not on the bed sheets. Now the actions may follow suit. And then the next line talks about the behaviors. But here he talks about the lust. So if you turn to Galatians, you don't have to turn. But if you turn to Galatians 5 and you look at verse 19 through 21, he talks about the works of the flesh. And he says something like this. He said, the works of the flesh are adultery, fornication, which this is the word that we get, porneia is the Greek word. It's where we get pornography. There's many people. I've just analyzed a couple of words in this because there's way too many people in the church that says the Bible doesn't address that. Yes, it does. You're just too ignorant in the body of Christ to know it does. But that's it. Fornication is sexual immorality. The Greek word is porneia, where we get pornography from. He does address it. He goes on and he says uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, which sorcery, which the word there could be translated witchcraft, which the Greek word is what? Pharmakia. What do you think we get from that word? Pharmacy. Pharmaceuticals. What's it talking about? What's the sin of sorcery? What's the sin of witchcraft? Drug abuse. Oh my. It's in the book. Do you know we have a society that is going to hell in a handbasket? That's a cliche, isn't it? Just as quickly as we can because of drugs. I'm telling you, if there's one thing that is ruining our world today, it's drug abuse. And it's not the 18-year-old kid. It's the accountants. It's the nurses. It's the doctors. It's the 18-year-old kid. But it's also the 12-year-old kid and the 14-year-old kid. It's people of all walks of life. You cannot say, well, if we could just get these people. No, sir. It goes all through society. Abstain is what we started off with. Remember? Now, for the last 2 weeks, I've been dealing with a guy trying to get him in the teen challenge. This guy is 50 years old, right at it. Been a drug addict for 30 years. Has nothing. Absolutely nothing. Teenagers, listen to me. The Bible knows what's right. He knows the best way. And he's saying, abstain from this. I know the world will tell you this is fun. This is good. This will blow your mind. Yes, it will blow your mind. He's right there. This will not take you down the path that you think it will. Are you with me? Have I got a church here today somewhere? It says hatred and contention and jealousy and outburst of wrath and selfish ambition and dissension and heresy and envy and murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, with those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. He says, abstain from these fleshly lusts. Why? Because they war against your soul. They war against Tina. No. It wars against me. If I partake, it wars against me. What is my soul? It's my mind, will, and emotion. I'm telling you, Peter is, we should call him Dr. Pete today, because he's writing out a great prescription. He's writing out a great thing. He says, follow this and life's going to be better. If you'll just follow my instruction, life is going. He's not just, don't do this and don't do that. He's not hollering and screaming and spit coming out of his mouth. I do that. Peter's not doing that. He's trying to tell you, if you do these things, it wars against you. Your mind cannot take it. Your emotions cannot take this kind of life. There are those in this room who I could say, would you stand and give a testimony? And they would tell you, this kind of life will destroy you emotionally. My father was an alcoholic. I thought I was going to lose my mind before I got out of that house. I'm telling you, it's true. Romans 7:23 says, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity into the law of sin, which is in my members. And then he goes into the behaviors. He says, abstain from the fleshly lusts, the thoughts, having your conversation or having your conduct, your behavior, honorable. Actions always follow your thought pattern. You see, if you won't commit adultery here, you won't commit it on the bed. If you don't become a drug addict here, you won't find yourself shooting up somewhere. If you don't start drinking here, you won't. All right, you're following me? This. See, Satan comes and he tries to entice you here. If you'll do this, this will be great. Hey, guess what? You can forget all your problems. How many people would love a pill that makes you forget all your problems? But it's just not true. It might make you forget them for a little bit, but guess what? When you wake up, you're going to have more problems. The Bible is truth, and it's a book of love. He's not scolding you. He's trying to encourage you. There's a better way of life, and I want you to know it. And He's not talking to a bunch of sinners. He's talking to the church. He's saying, guys, Christians, abstain from this stuff. I want us to do better. You know, Peter, he talks about conversation a lot in his book. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's either 5 or 8 times he uses this. And conversation, not meaning your words, but it's the manner in which you live your life. So you're going to hear me come back to this a few times as we talk about this book of Peter. It matters how you live. I'm going to say that until I get an amen. It matters how you live. Amen. Amen. You know, I'm the one that plans these dinners, and I hate preaching when we have a dinner. I think I'm going to quit planning them. It's going to be there. I promise it's going to be there. Our motivation for living this kind of life is to glorify God. Are you willing to put your ambitions on the back burner so that His ambition can burn through you? We all have ambition. We all have things that we want to accomplish in life. I'm 53 years old. And I, you know, when I get to really analyzing my life, I think, man, I haven't done it. I haven't done the things that I hope to do. But, you know, what I keep finding is my ambition has changed. I used to, when I was a kid, all I could think about is making money. That just doesn't motivate me anymore at all. Money is not a motivating factor. The kingdom is. Winning souls is a motivating factor. Seeing people's lives transform, that fires me up. As one guy used to say, that cranks my tractor. Tennesseans, I thought for sure would get that. He says this. He says that this world may see your good works and observe God and glorify God in the day of visitation. In the day of visitation, let them glorify God. And I think there's a lot of confusion. What's that mean, in the day of visitation? Is that talking about when Jesus comes back? I don't believe so. I believe it's talking about when the Holy Spirit visits them. When the Holy Spirit, because I believe the Holy Spirit is faithful to come to everyone's door and present the gospel in some way. To tell people there really is a Jesus. There really is something more in life than what you're now pursuing. And He says, your good works. Now, you got to be cautious here. Because we do not do good works for salvation. We do good works because of salvation. And you may say, well, you're just splitting hairs. No, I'm not. That's totally different. You don't work to get to heaven, but because you're saved, you will work. There are things that you're going to want to do because Jesus has saved your soul. So He says, therefore. He begins to tie it together. He begins to bring His point to a conclusion. And He says this, let's obey the ordinance of man. You know how many Christians think it doesn't matter if I obey the law of the land? Every time you get into your car, you get to be challenged. I fail this challenge many times. I'll just be serious with you. Will I obey that speed limit? We have a policeman here, so everybody say amen. Yes, say amen. We are obedient. You better be obedient when you go through Henry and McKenzie, I'm going to tell you. And Purrier, that's right. I go through all the time. Guys, you know God expects us to obey the law of the land. He expects it. Some people think that we don't have to do that. No, I'm a Christian. So he goes on, he says, don't use your freedom. Today in the church, we would say grace. Don't use grace as a cop-out to live any old way you want to. Was never designed for that. And I'll challenge you with this. Think about it from Jesus Christ's perspective. And if you'll think about it from the perspective of Jesus Christ, you'll understand what I'm telling you is true. Why would Jesus Christ die and give His life to bring you out of something only then to say, oh, by the way, I don't care how you live. You're saved now. Just live any old way you want to. If you want to go back to that sin, just go back to it. I died for it. It doesn't make sense, does it? Not a lick of sense. Don't use your grace as a license to live any way you want to. Come on, let's wise up and say, there is a higher calling of God. And that calling is, am I living my life to glorify Him? Are you all in? Have you burned your bridges? Have you burned your ship? Not going back to that old life. I'm not going back to the way I used to be. I'm all in. I'm in, Jesus. You can count on me. He ends up and he says, honor, which means respect or esteem, all people. All people, honor them. But he says, love the body of Christ. Matter of fact, John goes on, he says, by the way, the world's going to know us because of the love that we have for each other. And you look at the church. You know, I did a little study about a year ago. And I thought, I wonder how many denominations there really are. 100, 200, 300, 40,000. 40,000 denominations. 40,000 people that couldn't get along, so they start another. Love the brotherhood. I want you to know that does not say, if you're Assembly of God, love the Assembly of God. It says, love the brotherhood. Assembly of God, love the Baptist. Quit fighting with them. Love the Church of Christ. Love the Catholic. Love the Episcopalian. Love the Methodist. Love the brotherhood. We are all... I got news for you. There's no fences in heaven. At least none that I could read about. There's not an Assembly of God Pentecostal corner in heaven. All those other people are going to have to change your mind. No. We're all going to find out something. How wrong we were. Man, I thought we had it all. I thought we knew it all. Don't be so arrogant. Love the body of Christ. They don't have to be just like you. But if they have Jesus in their heart, we ought to love them. We ought to accept them. Love the body. Fear God. Which doesn't mean be afraid of Him. It means to honor Him and honor the King. I could preach about this. Say, Eric, thank God we don't have a king. No, but we have a president. And I didn't vote for him either time. And that doesn't mean I don't have to honor him. And the next guy that gets in may not be my man. Doesn't mean I don't have to honor him. I'm still supposed to honor the place, the man, because of the position. I honor him. Doesn't mean I have to agree with him. I don't agree with the other denominations fully. but I'm supposed to love them. So the first question I have for you today, number one, do you know Jesus? Most important question that you'll be asked today, but maybe all year, is do you know Jesus? Remember, I told you this all comes down to two issues, the salvation of man and the glory of God. To glorify God, you have to be saved. You've got to know. It's not about being perfect. Guess what? You get to come to Jesus with all your problems. Alcoholic, you don't have to quit drinking. You come to Jesus and then He'll help you overcome that. You come to Him. We bring the fish in and it's up to Him to clean it. Abstain from this fleshly lust, he says, and he's talking to Christians. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think Peter would have mentioned this if there wasn't a little bit of a problem. It's warring against your soul. Guys, if you do not know Jesus, you need to take care of that today. Get your heart right with Jesus. Number two, as a Christian, am I self-absorbed, living my life for myself, or am I living to glorify God? Stand with me. Earlene has her sister here with us today. Earlene has her sister, Verlene, right? And Verlene's going to have surgery tomorrow, so we want to pray for her before we're done. But I want to bring you to a point where I'm not going to give you any wiggle room. You're either going to accept Jesus today or you're going to deny it. You're going to say, no, I don't want it. You're not going to leave this building today with just escaping. You have to make a decision. Say, no, I don't, preacher. Yeah, you do. And it's not because of me. It's because of Him. He is bringing you to a point of decision. And you say, you can say, you can just sort of like put your head down and say, no, I'm not going to think about that. I'm not going to think about it. But you are thinking about it. See, because the Holy Spirit, today is your day of visitation. Christian, child of God, today is a day of visitation for you also. I don't know about you, but I read this verse, it convicted me. Say, preacher, what are you saying? It convicted me for Treva. I'm telling you that. I thought, Lord, when I preach this, my wife's going to be under conviction. I know. It gets us all. Come on, don't act so righteous. That gets us all. Abstain. You know, we want to preach to that back table back there, them young people. We want to say, hey, if you'll just take this vow of abstinence, that you'll preserve your virginity, we'll give you a ring. And I think that's great. I pray, my heart prayers, that every one of you will marry a virgin and marry as a virgin. Say, why does that matter? Because I know the other side of it. I've counseled way too many people that have been plagued with baggage. I know it matters. Keep yourself pure. You see, we want to preach that sermon to them, but then we want to say, leave us alone, Pastor. But the Word of God doesn't leave us alone. He says, I want you to abstain. Why? Because you're supposed to be a sojourner. You're just passing through. So here's the question. Are you living your life to glorify Him? It's a simple question. He's a welder. That's just his occupation. It's not who he is. Sells pharmaceuticals. speech therapist, realtor, retired preacher, UPS. What do you do, Jim? I don't know. Research and development of something, right? That's their occupation. It's not who they are. Who are they? They're men and women of God that's supposed to live their life to glorify Him. Do you feel that conviction? I feel conviction. Would you just bow your heads? Close your eyes, please, just for a moment. Erlene and Verlene, would you guys mind just coming up here, standing up here? If you do not know Jesus as your Savior, the day of visitation is here. Now, I want you to know we're not going to embarrass you, and I'm not going to bring you up here like I am these two ladies. These ladies are quite accustomed to coming to the front of the church. They're both big sinners, so they come up all know how to. They've been in church a long time. They understand laying on of hands. That's what we're going to do. We're not going to do that to you if you do not know Jesus as your Savior. But with an uplifted hand, I want to pray for you. And I know the Holy Spirit is going to touch your heart. Again, every head bowed, every eye closed. Now with an uplifted hand, would you just say, Pastor, pray for me because I'm not saved and I know I need to be saved. With an uplifted hand, say, Pastor, remember me in prayer. Pray for me. Amen. I see your hand. Anybody else? Anyone else? The Holy Spirit is convicting. And it's not a mean conviction. It's a positive thing. He says, I want to do something great in your life. Okay, child of God, today is our day of visitation. How many would honestly say, I have been caught up in the world's game? With an uplifted hand, I'm caught up in the affairs of this life. And I need to reevaluate and live my life to glorify Him. With an uplifted hand. Amen. Those hands are all over the place. Thank you for your honesty. Father God, I come before you right now. And Lord, for this one that says I need to get right with Jesus. Father, we just pray for him first. And we just say to repeat this prayer with me, brother, in your heart. Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner and that I need a Savior. I know I'm not perfect. I'm a long way from it. I ask you that you forgive me of my sins and come into my heart. I want to live for you all the days of my life. I want you to be my Savior and my Lord. I commit my life to you. Thank you, Jesus. That's it, guys. If you pray that prayer in sincerity, you are now saved. Child of God, let's pray for us. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the conviction of the Holy Spirit because conviction draws us closer to you. Father, Lord, to a great extent, we have not been sojourners. We've not been pilgrims passing through. Lord, we bought the lie of the devil that this is our kingdom, and we've tried to build our palace right here. We've tried to build life right here. We became way too engaged and way too involved in this life, and we've missed it. We bought it, Jesus, and I'm so sorry. But today we burn that bridge behind us because we say there's no going back. I will live my life, the rest of my life, I will live my life to glorify you in everything I do and say. I want my life to glorify you so that people may see the good work and understand that you are alive. I thank you, Lord Jesus, as we make these decisions. I pray, Lord, that it would be engraved in our heart to this day, that this day and for the rest of our life, we will live to glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If some of you want to gather together with us around Verlene, again, she's having surgery tomorrow.